ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. They say that every man should have a hobby to help him relax. My wife got me interested in a couple of unusual pastimes, prospecting for rare minerals and back garden tennis. Well, that means Robin spends his spare time getting the coal and bashing the dirt out of the carpets for us. So, but aboard HMS Tribridge, it appears that Lieutenant Bates has got a strange hobby, too.
Well, I think you're being most unreasonable, Mr. Murray. Sir, this wardroom is supposed to be supplied with reading matter of educational and instructive nature.
Yeah, possibly, but I'm not going to sanction the use of naval funds on a year's subscription for the Yogi Bear comic weekly.
Well, it's only threepence. And it's in colour.
I don't care if it glows in the dark. We are not having it in this wardroom.
Well, you sanctioned the weekly edition of Girls, Giggles and Garters.
Naturally. Books don't come any more instructive than that. Come in. Oh, what is it, Chief?
This week's edition of Girls, Giggles and Garters, sir. Not that we've opened it, but I recommend page 19.
Thank you, Chief. We had noticed it always seems to get here well thumbed. Is that all?
No, sir. No, there is one other thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, it's nothing much, sir. It's just that Mr. Bates has gone stark raving bonkers.
Oh, is that... What?
He's down on the dock playing with a tiny, tiny model aeroplane.
Lummy. He might have invited us to have a game, too.
That's not quite what I meant, sir. What I meant is that he's a bit old to play with model aeroplanes.
Well, come on, let's go and see what's happening.
Hey, Art, you can see him from the deck here.
Oh, yes, so you can. Well, he's only just standing there. What was that?
I imagine that was it.
Yes, it was, sir. Here it comes again. Mind your head.
Mr. Bates!
Hello, William Kemp!
Mr. Bates, what do you think you're doing? Stop it at once.
Lummy, that was close.
Yeah, I say it was closer. It wheels just two little tar marks on the top of your hat.
Pity he didn't have his hat off.
Oh, why, sir?
Well, that would have made the plane a aircraft carrier. It bit me.
Where, sir?
You'd be surprised.
Here's you joyful.
I say, sorry, Father.
Yes, so you should be. Swap that thing the next time it comes past, and then come and see me in the wardroom. If necessary, shoot it. This way, gentlemen, back to the wardroom.
Well, you chaps sorry to kept you waiting, but I've caught it. Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Give over! Oh, die, you brute!
If I was you, I'd give up, Mr. Bates, sir. It's never going to let you have the last word.
No, perhaps you'd better tie it down before it bites somebody else.
That's all right, sir. Its little tank has run out of oxtail soup.
Soup?
Yes. That's what it's been running on. I rather think those last buzzies were burps.
What's he talking about? Mr. Bates, what the purple people eater are you playing at?
Aeroplanes. I seem to have discovered a new fuel. Well, not me, actually, but Johnson.
Johnson?
Yes. You know that soup we had last night that he cooked?
Not only too well. But I'm better now, thank you.
Quite. Well, I thought it had a funny taste, so I decided to have a cigarette instead. And that's when it blew up.
What do you mean your soup blew up?
What I say. As soon as I struck a match, the whole plateful went whoop, bang. It was then I realized it might be a fuel.
Now, just a minute, sir. You mean you've been flying your tiny, tiny aeroplane on Johnson's whoosh bang oxtail soup?
Yes. And it didn't half go.
Yeah, I say it did. I've still got the scar.
I've still got the skid marks on the ass. Yet I do rather feel I owe you chaps an apology about that. The snag was my tiny, tiny aeroplane went three times as fast on Johnson's soup as ever it did on petrol.
Yeah, we had noticed. Well, it looks as if you and Johnson are really onto something. Do you think it would work on other engines besides the ones in tiny, tiny aeroplanes?
Oh, bound to. Engines are all on the same principle.
Do you mind, sir? Principle is a word we Pertwees aren't mad about.
Yes, we had noticed that, too. What do you think we ought to do about this discovery, sir?
Well, bearing in mind what's happened every time we've tried to do anything about Mr. Bates' discoveries in the past, I think this time we'll do it officially.
What, you mean tell old Thundercut and let him cop all the credit?
Well, not quite the way I've put it, but basically, yes. In fact, I think we'd better go over and tell him about it right now.
Come in.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir, but we wondered if there'd been any reaction from Admiralty after our chat about Mr. Bates's new fuel yesterday.
And if there has, we apologize. We wish we'd never said a word.
Oh, there's been a reaction, all right. Oh, they went mad. It's gone right to the top, gentlemen. They're even sending down the Undersecretary to the Sea Lord to investigate the matter.
I knew we shouldn't have said anything.
Anna?
If you're expecting someone, they're here. If you're not, you've got visitors.
Then, Cornwall, this is no time for riddles. Who is it?
I don't know. The old boy said he was the Undersecretary to the Sea Lord. Well, I knew that was a joke, so I said I was the Queen of Sheba.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It is Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown, the Undersecretary. I'm expecting him.
Oh, well, there you are, then.
Then I am what?
He's here.
Oh, good grief. Send him in, then.
All right. Oh, what shall I do with his wife? Oh, there's a book out here called Girls, Giggles, and Garters. She could read that.
No,
if
no,
you
no,
like.
No, 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 no. No, she mustn't read that. Send her in as well. Ah, come in, sir. Wibbly, waddly, hoodly, diddly, diddly,
Don't fight it, Povey. I was coming in anyway. Morning, you chaps. Oh, do come on, Amelia.
Don't push me, Willer. I think I've got a cold coming on, so I'm painting my throat with a little medicinal gin. And somehow I sort of think I've swallowed something. Oh, hooray, I have.
Can I get you a seat, Lady Todhunter Brown?
No, thanks. I've already got one. Oh, I read that one in Girls, Giggles, and Garters.
That's funny. I've never noticed any reading matter in it. Mind you, the picture's cool. How they get away with it.
Oh, let's stop all this. Work to be done.
I couldn't agree more, sir. Well, what's happened with this decision?
Well, they're giving you the go-ahead, Foley. You're to get this chap Bates to manufacture this fuel in large quantities.
Sure, sir. Willie told me all about this fuel. And I calculate it must be about 150% proof. And if I'm right, I'd come down and have a tiny snortful before you waste it on a lot of metal. And that could be very warming.
Now, do leave off, dear. Willie's got work to do. Now then, you chaps, as soon as sufficient of the new fuel has been made, it's to be tried out in Troutbridge.
I was afraid you'd feel that way.
I shan't forget you either, Povey. If this goes all right, you might even get a medal.
A medal? Yes, that's right, sir. One of those shiny round things with a bit of ribbon on it that goes clunk, clunk, clunk on your chest when you get two of them.
I know what a medal is. Oh, think of it. Captain Povey, D.S.C. Or Captain Povey, O.B.E. Or even Captain Povey, D.S.O.
How about Captain Povey, E.P.N.S.?
Yes, that would be... No, you idiot. Oh, for goodness sake, get back to the ship and tell Bates and that overfed waiting Johnson to manufacture sufficient of the new fuel for a sea trial.
Oh, very good, sir.
And don't forget to tell him to set aside a nice little 5-gallon drum for me. I've got certain trials that I want to make.
Now, a little pinch of salt. Now, a teaspoonful of mixed herbs. Oh, I've lost the spoon now.
Oh, well, that's all right. You'll pay for it. Go on, Pat Pope. Mr. Bates is waiting.
Patience, Chief. Patience. It's ready now.
Right. Right, pull out the plate full for the explodability test. Right.
Lovely, lovely.
Right, an empty off. Here's a match. I'll just light it. Right, what a lovely glow, isn't it? Here you are, Johnson. Hold on to the match.
Yeah. Shall I put it in the soup?
No, not yet.
All right.
I'll tell you when.
Yes.
All right, not yet. Hold on to it. Not yet. Wait a minute. Not yet. Right, bang it in.
But you won't see it from over there.
If it's any good, I'll hear it. Bang the match in.
Ooh. It's put it out.
You mouldy, muttering mountain of messer-upper. That's the 14th saucepan of soup that hasn't gone off bang this morning. Just 14 dead matches and 14
Well, there's something missing.
I'll say there is. It's your head.
Well, I'm not putting that in.
Well, you might as well.
I'll tell you something. There's a fortune flying about here someplace. A fortune flying about. And you have to go and forget the recite.
Well, there's no sense in you leading off, you know. Inventing explodable suits takes time. Look how long it took Edison Bell to invent Marconi. And the Italians have been eating it ever since. And there's something else holding me up my nose.
What's that?
I'm not happy.
Well, start laughing and we'll have another brew up.
No, it won't do any good. It's time I rested me inventory.
Eh?
Well, you can't invent when your inventory's tired, you know.
Oh.
You hang on here. Fatso's going to put his head down for a bit.
Fatso isn't. Fatso's going to have a nice cup of his Mumbin's black ground umgrummet coffee. And then Fatso, he's going to cook on.
Well, I'll consider it, providing you make the coffee.
Only, I suppose I might as well.
Oh, Lord. Where is the umgrummet coffee?
Well, it's in the tin marked gravy browning, of course.
Why?
Well, it had to be. The gravy browning's in the ground umgrummet coffee tin. You can't mix up
What? That's it. Now, what's the matter?
That must be the missing ingredient from the explodable soup. I must have put ground umgrummet coffee in instead of gravy browning the other night. And ground umgrummets get dead nasty when they get mixed up with other things, you know. They're not happy. No.
Well, no wonder it tasted putrid.
Yeah.
Right, quick, come on. Shove a spoonful of ground umgrummet coffee in that plateful now. Well, I'll light another match.
Right, O.G. But don't blame me if those ground umgrummets in the coffee start something. They're not happy, you know.
No.
They like their privacy, ground umgrummets, do. They react horrible.
Good. Right, here you are. Now hang on to the match.
Yeah.
Don't put it in yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. Hang on. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, hang it in.
Certainly. But there's ground umgrummet coffee in this. And it could very well go off.
Fatso! Fatso! Fatso, speak to me! Fatso! The old friend! Fatso, tell me. Are you all right, Fatso?
No. I'm not.
Well, what's wrong?
I'm not happy.
Ah! Never mind about that. Have you broken anything?
Yeah, me plate.
Well, you can pay for that at the same time as you pay for the spoon you lost.
Yeah, you're rotten, you are. If rotten were two a penny, you'll be a fourpenny rotten. I've been blown up, bounced about, and up to me Canadian soup for hours, and now you're being a rotten. And a rotten stinking rotten as that.
You finished?
No, you're rotten.
And I'll be rotten as hell if you don't get weaving on brewing up your explodable soup. You seem to forget, son. I'm looking after your interests.
That'll be the day. How?
How? Well, this part invented of this duel. I reckon you'll be entitled to royalty. So, Pertwee, we'll be right by your side to arrange terms with the government and see that you don't get done. Naturally, I shall expect a slight cut to cover me legitimate legal expenses.
I should have known. Your cut being a modest 99% of Fatso's cut, no doubt. All right, pass the salt. Here we go for another 500 gallons.
Well, gentlemen, this is the trials area. No sense in putting off the fateful moment any longer. We'd better switch over to Mr. Bates's explodable soup fuel right away.
With due respect, sir, I wouldn't advise it.
Oh, nonsense, Chief. Where's your spirit of adventure?
Running neck and neck with my spirit of cowardice.
Well, stand by for a photo finish, because we're going to switch over.
No, you can't do it, sir. I saw what it did to Johnson. Raised his eyebrows so high they vanished off the top of his bonnet. He's got a bald forehead now. With that figure and no eyebrows, he looks more like Humpty Dumpty than ever.
What are you talking about? He had eyebrows on when I saw him this morning. They can't have grown overnight.
No, they didn't. I got at him with me ballpoint pen. He's got eyebrows all right, but they happen to be royal blue.
Oh, so that was it. When I saw the colour of them, I thought he must be feeling the cold.
Well, royal blue eyebrows or not, we're switching over.
Engine room, Able Seaman Johnson here, and I'm not happy.
Yes, I'd heard you were feeling a bit blue. Johnson. Hello. Johnson, you there?
I am, sir.
but I'm not partial to people who go, the afflicted.
Oh, sorry, pardon. For the moment, I thought we'd been cut off.
I wasn't cut off, sir. I've been blown off. You have to see a pair of eyebrows floating about, they're mine.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for them. hello, Johnson. I'm sorry about that. Hello, Johnson. Switch over to Mr. Bates's fuel.
Well, I've lost my eyebrows, and you can only lose them once, so I may as well, but I'm not happy, you know.
Right. Well, we've switched over.
Compassionate leave. I've just remembered something very important. My dear white-haired old mother was knitting me a warm, woolly wind protector in pork lies that went all of a sudden. She dropped the stitch, and when she got down on her hands and knees to look for it, a creaking joint got locked in a vice-like grip and left her stuck halfway up that hallway. That is a devoted son, sir. I can hardly
understand. Oh, forget it. You're staying aboard.
Sir, you can't leave an old lady stuck halfway up her hallway. Sir, she's on her hands and knees. I mean, it's not cricket.
No, stuck in that position, it's more like bill.
No, slow ahead both, please, gentlemen.
Well, if you insist, sir, but be it on your own eyebrows. Slow ahead, Chief.
With a right load of alarm education and astronomy in the course of building, sir. Fluid boost, it is, sir.
Funny, we're not moving.
Well, I rang down, did it?
Well, perhaps Johnson's out. Try the knocker instead. Not knock the bell again. Ring the knocker. No. Knock him up the Old Kent Road. No.
Yes. All right, Yogi Bear. Leave it till next week. No, obviously, Mr. Bates's fuel is a dismal failure in large quantities.
Here, look at the ship, sir. She's going berserk.
We're doing 50 knots.
Look at the dial.
I think I've lost my eyebrows.
No. You ever lost your eyebrows, sir?
What is it?
That smooth bit's the peak of your cap.
Never mind your eyebrows. Navigate before we hit land and get beached.
Yeah, do something, sir. Because if anyone's going to be completely beached, it's us.
Yes, right, certainly. Left hand up.
No,
right hand down.
Right hand down.
Up the top, down again.
Top.
No, over a bit sideways.
As you were.
Where were you? No, up again. Up again. No, down. Down.
Back a bit.
Steady a bit.
No.
Swing the bike down a bit.
Hey!
Flat. Climb to 5,000 feet.
Stop.
Hang on a minute.
How can I?
You'll have to. I've run out of breath.
Sir Philip, quick, mind that lighthouse.
Where?
There.
Oh, morning, lighthouse keeper. See you on the way back.
Bridge?
Engine room, I'm not happy.
Yeah, neither are we. Shut up and grow your eyebrows.
Left hand up a bit. Right hand, no.
Here we go again.
Up the top and down again.
Right.
Lummy, who was that girl who went past with an ice cream cornet?
That wasn't a girl with an ice cream cornet, sir. That was the Statue of Liberty. Take no notice, sir. Keep on navigating.
Yes, rather. Steady at that.
Time
5,000 feet.
Here we go.
Runway reverse.
Scrub that.
Scrub that.
Let's scrub it. On the answer.
Do the paddy glider.
No.
Left hand up a bit.
Left hand up a bit.
Left hand down a bit.
Right.
Aim for double top.
Right.
Steady at that.
Steady at that.
Hello?
Excuse me, sir. It's a long-distance call, and you're not going to believe who it is or where it's from when I tell you.
What?
It's Lieutenant Murray, sir. He's reversing the charges from Sydney, Australia.
Oh, well, put him on. He's what?
Putting you through, sir.
No. Wait.
Hello, Cobber. hello, sir.
Number one. What have you done this time?
Well, sir, at one point when we had the wind behind us, 65 knots.
So I gathered. There have been ludicrous reports coming in about your speeds and ships of every nation since you left.
Well, I'm afraid that's true, sir. Mind you, the strain has slightly bent one or two of the ship's plates up forward.
What do you mean?
Well, put it this way, sir. Troutbridge is now 3 foot shorter and 4 foot wider than she was.
Oh, good grief. When do you think you can get her back here? Because there's a top-level meeting at Admiralty this week on the success of the new fuel. Now then, how soon can you be back?
Well, if we return anything like the way we went, about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
It's incredible. It's a wonder she even touches the water.
Well, for about 1,500 miles, I don't think she did. See you tomorrow afternoon, sir.
Meet me outside the boardroom at Admiralty. And you better bring a sample of the fuel with you.
Yeah, very good, sir. See you at Admiralty.
Here, Amelia. Where have you been?
I've been lost in the labyrinth.
In the what?
In the labyrinth. Oh. Of the corridors that Admiral Sir seems to be made up of. What's going on?
Well, I'm talking to Mr. Merivale, Director of Naval Expenditure.
The charm, Lady Thornbrown, charm, absolute charm.
Likewise. And if you're the Director of Naval Expenditure, you can bump up the allowances for refreshments in the wardroom jolly quickly. On my last visit to the fleet, their stock of gin was abysmally low.
In the nicest possible way, their stocks are all right before your visit.
Well, I'll attend to it at once. But this discovery of new fuel should work wonders, absolute wonders, with the credit side of the books. By George, with the money it saves us, our bank will have never had it so good.
Coin of phrase has gone rather nasty.
There you are, gentlemen. Sorry to have kept you waiting.
Oh, that's all right, Purvey. We know you got lost in the labyrinth. Now then, everything's under control. The crew of Troutfish have arrived, and I've had a brainwave. By George, yes, a brainwave. A discovery like this should have a byproduct, you see.
A byproduct?
Yes, that's the word. I like a man who catches on quickly. So I've sent Bates down there, you see.
Sent Bates down where?
The underground labyrinth of Admiralty, Air Force. At the end of one corridor is the boiler room. The oil heating of this place was put in by an idiot. It's all freezing. But a few drops of Bates' fuel in the tank should make a world of difference. By George, yes, a world of difference.
But you can't put that stuff in the heating system. It hasn't been tested.
Well, tested or not, it's working. You chaps mind if I take me jacket off?
Not at all, not at all. This way, chaps, into the boardroom. We're keeping Rear Admiral Ironbridge and some of the men from Troutbridge waiting. After you, madam.
If you don't mind, I shall hold on to Willie's arm and we shall go in together.
Glad you're here, gentlemen. Anybody mind if I open the window? It's getting a bit warm.
Yes, byproducts. That's the answer. Byproducts.
Very likely, sir, and byproducts to you and all. Whatever they are.
Well, it's fairly simple, Chief. You see, byproducts. Yes, byproducts. It's a question of splitting up the word, you see.
Okay.
You know, like, for instance, by bicycle, you see. Now, that's, well, it's, you know,
A cycle you bought.
Yes. No, it's, well, it's a cycle with two wheels, you see.
Two wheels, yes.
It's by, meaning two.
Oh,
yes. So that gives you two, you see. Now, products, by products, pro, you see.
Pro.
Meaning, well, professional. Which leaves you with ducks, you see.
Ducks?
Yeah, ducks. Oh, yeah, meaning... Ducks. Well, yeah, well, that's foreign, you see, foreign for ducks. Therefore, byproducts must mean two professional ducks with wheels on.
Oh, thank you, sir. Very elucidating mechanical of you, I'm sure, sir. Only, you still haven't explained why it's so flaming hot in here.
I can't stand any more of this. Three grown men talking utter gibberish.
Ah, now that's another one. Now, yes, jib. You see, jib.
Jib.
As in ship sail, you see. Now, jib, burr. As in, burr on the phone.
Don't let anyone think. Shut up. Here's Rear Admiral Ironbridge.
Iron, as in any old. Bridges, as in
jib. The shut, as in up.
Ah, good. Yes. After, yes. Noon. Yes. Now, before we start, yes, begin, yes, start. My word, it's hot. Roaring. I've got a few words. Yes, words. Yes. There are the little chaps to say about this, well.
A minute here. I can't possibly be disturbed. I have nothing to say at this juncture. A press statement will be issued in due course. So it's you, Mabel. What? What? My word, that's a disaster. Are you sure? Did they? What about the engines? Still going? I'll inform the meeting at once. Purvey, you're in the explodable soup.
Steve, what have I done? But what's happened?
Is something wrong?
Words. Yes, that's what's needed. Words.
I'll say there's something wrong. Just heard from the duty officer on your ship that all your fuel tanks have dissolved. Your explodable soup has burned clean through the lot. There's also a report from the engine room to state that they are not happy down there. No, they are not happy. I say, open the window, somebody. Must be 108 in the shade in here.
Ah! Oh, what was that? Me. I just backed onto a radiator.
Oh, compassionate leave, sir.
No.
No, no, you can't beat words.
Yeah, no.
Which reminds me of a story.
Yeah.
Sir, look at the wallpaper. Eh? It's all curling up at the edges.
Oh, good. Perhaps we shall see page two.
What's happening?
I'm not sure, Povey. I'm not sure, but it's your fault. It's the byproducts, you see. You've made a mistake there.
Mistake? I don't know anything about them.
No, not a thing. So then, the Irishman said to the Englishman, yes, Jock, me boy. No, that can't be right.
No, no. My word, it's warm. Yes, word.
You should know something about it, Povey. You started it. I've got your memo recommending this duel, and look what's happened. Troutbridge needs a refit, and we're all sitting here like Turkish bath attendants.
It's nothing to do with me. I didn't put the new fuel in the radiators. I made this.
Manners, Chief, manners, really.
I like that. It wasn't me, sir. That wasn't me. That was the radiators. Yeah, they're the ones that have had Mr. Bates' fuel and they're bursting immoderate.
Gracious, yes, they're fizzing their fight.
What? Yeah, Marjorie, it's going to be a gusher. Everybody down! Ah, she blows! And the next one, please.
Who'd have thought Bates' fuel could do this?
Stop him! Stop him, you hear? Stop him!
Oh, you heard it!
Yes!
Well, there's another one that goes up!
Yes, we've heard that one as well. Take to the boot, lad! Take to the boot! Nurse on the boardroom table, the baked custard!
Stop it, I'll be ruined. Switch them off, turn off the boilers. Oh, I should never have signed that memo. I shall never get my OBE now.
Never mind your OBE, sir. Watch out for your BCM. Come on, get up on the table. We're nearly afloat. Who wants a quick trip around the lordship?
Left hand down a bit around the coat hangers.
Left hand down a bit around the coat hangers it is, sir. Grab a tea tray and paddle for the labyrinth, lad. Paddle for the labyrinth, lad.
And that was Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Captain Povey, played by Richard Caldicott, Judy was Judy Cornwell, Lieutenant Bates was Michael Bates, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown was Tenny Levens, and Lady Todhunter Brown was played by Heather Chasen. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.